Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margo.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, and we have a superstar of the show today, Beb Kvasgi. Excuse me, guys. I've had to practice saying that over and over again, but I said it perfectly when we interviewed him. And on the line today, this is Margo, and on the line today, we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hey.
And Jen, you weren't there. Kristen and I did this interview today with Meb, and it was so amazing. He was so lovely, so nice. I think he was in a car going around New York City. It was just before the marathon. And he was so delightful. And I actually got a little bit of a tape here of Kristen and Meb talking just before our interview. So hold on a sec. I'll play it for you right now.
Hi, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm great. And Meb, I have so many friends who are so jealous of me right now. So I am really excited about this.
So do you want to do FaceTime so we can take a picture of it?
Oh my God! yes.
Oh, no. Good. Well, I appreciate the support and tell your friends I said hello and thanks for their support.
You bet.
That was amazing. Kristen's level of starstruckness is Kristen. That was adorable. And that sounds so badass. Like so awesome. Yeah. Nice. So, like, loving.
He was. And I feel like it's kind of worth noting that, you know, like, I've talked to some pretty big names and held my cool, you know? Like, I don't get too tongue-tied. But he was one that I was just like, holy moly, you guys, this is happening. This is a life thing.
There was, like, a little bit of a connection there, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're pretty much best friends now.
And you can, like, feel it. Yeah.
For me, for me, I had to learn. I learned about him from that CBS Sunday Morning piece that he did just before the Olympics, and it was all about his life in Africa and how he came to the States and his journey to who he is now has been just unbelievable. He's just one of the most inspirational people I think we've talked to so far, and just so nice and down to earth. I mean, he just was incredible.
Yeah, he completely is. I don't know how anybody turns things into good the way he does. Like, you know, you want to talk about making lemonade. Like, he has made the greatest lemonade in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
fast lemonade.
Fast lemonade. And I mentioned, actually, my friend Danny is a big time runner, Irish Eyes. Hello, Irish Eyes. And she was
I know Danny.
Yeah, Danny. Oh, that's where you guys are friends. She was texting me like just before the interview. She was so jealous we were doing this, but she wanted me to ask him the question about the Boston Marathon, and he won the Boston Marathon the first year that it came back after the bombing. And his answer was just incredible. Like, you guys will hear in this interview, like, he's just so warm and wonderful. And it was just such a privilege to speak to him.
Yeah, get ready to have chills a couple times, I would say.
Yeah. And then how many times did he dry heave, did he mention?
Yeah, so I don't think he said, but for anybody who watched the Rio Olympics, he really was in it to win it, except that it was not his day, and he stopped to either dry heave or vomit 7 times in the second half of the marathon. And if you, like, really, right now, if you have not seen him cross the finish line in Rio, if you have not watched that video, I beg you, go to the Googles, look it up, Meb, M-E-B, just start typing K and he'll come up. I'm not even going to try to spell it. But, and then Rio marathon finish. Look at it. What happens, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but it is the finish line to end all finish lines. And like, I'm getting choked up thinking about it right now.
Aww.
So, you were saying he's such an inspiration, but you know, it's not that he's such an inspiration because he's so fast, although that's part of it. And it's not just because like he's able to, inspire people with you know, pretty words. Like, dude lives it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, you could hear that when he's talking. I mean, he just, like you said, he turns lemons into lemonade. He's just very grateful for everything he has in his life. You know, he came from abject poverty and from a war-torn country and came to America and became a citizen and won the New York Marathon, won the Boston Marathon. And just, like we said, just lovely and chill. He's in his 40s, by the way. Chris and I asked him some questions about what it's like to train now versus, you know, in his younger days. And he mentioned that he uses KT tape. And I was just wondering, do you guys use KT tape?
Yeah. So I actually have a book right here on my desk that is my next item to review, and it's called Kinesiology Taping for Rehab and Injury Prevention.
Ooh.
And as someone with crap knees,
right,
I am very excited. So I've got this, and I have two rolls of KT tape because I don't trust myself to do it right on the first try. So I wanted to make sure I had several things there. But this makes it look pretty easy. So I'm hopefully around the time this comes out, I'll have the interview up on Fit Bottom Girls. But it's kind of cool. It shows how to use it for everything from like nasal congestion to patellar tendonitis to like everything. So,
wow.
See, I haven't, but I'm excited to.
They had that in one of my race packets. I think it was in the race packet when Tish and I did the marathon. So, I mean, we were like,
oh, that was old school.
Yeah. And then we were like, hurting the next day that we're like, sure, we should put these on different parts of our body. I mean, it really had like a very small, like, 5-instruction flyer, like, how to do it. So I think maybe there's a little bit more education needed. But we were just pretty much just sticking it on anywhere, and then we're like, well, we still hurt. So, yeah, I don't think we did it correctly. That was 6 years ago.
Yeah. There might be a little more skill to that than you guys knew about.
Also, science?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and science, yeah.
Yes, also science.
So Jen, you mentioned in our other running episode, because you two have to teach me about running. I'm not the runner in the group, just to be honest. But you mentioned how you were injured when you did that marathon with Tish. You hurt your butt. Your butt broke on you.
And my butt broke.
Your butt broke. And so I wanted to ask you guys what your favorite mantra is. There's a mantra or an expression that you use to motivate yourself when things are mentally or physically tough. Do you have anything?
Mine is taken from Finding Nemo.
Oh.
Which is funny because it was taken from that even well before I had a daughter. But instead of like just keep swimming, it's just like just keep running, just keep running, just keep running, running, running. And it can really be about anything that you're doing that you don't really want to be doing, but you just kind of need to get through, you know, like just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. And then kind of say it in that, you know, lovely Dory, Ellen DeGeneres kind of like upbeat, live in the moment attitude, you know, like cool, like just keep going, keep chugging along. My other one is actually kind of a mix of Nike's Just Do It.
Yeah.
And then a line from, oh, this is so random, a line from a Bryan Adams song.
Ooh.
That's, there's no use complaining when you've got a job to do.
Yeah. Summer of 69. Hello.
Yeah, that has gone through my head so many times when I've been in the middle of a workout. And it's just like, you know what? Especially if it's like, if you're working through pain, that's one thing. But if it's just you're mentally like not able to get motivated or just can't, you know, just want to quit, it's just like, shut up. Stop using your mental power to complain and just put your head down, do the work, and you'll feel awesome later. So. You may listen to that song in a whole new light now.
I think I will. I'm going to wait for that lyric now. But thanks a lot.
Bitching right there, Bryan Adams. Who knew?
Who knew?
And what about you, Kristen?
I've got a few as well. One of them I got years ago from Lucy Danziger when she was editor at Self.
Yes.
I interviewed her. I think this was like before I even was with Fit Bottom Girls. I think this was back in my dinosaur AOL days. And I remember she was talking about, I mean, she was just incredibly accomplished. And she said that her motto was smile and do the work. And because smiling is always a really good reminder when you're in the middle of, you know, thinking about how much pain you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Smiling actually, I don't know. Once again, because science, it does good things for your brain.
Science.
Yeah. And so the more you can kind of convince yourself to smile, even if you don't feel like it, is good. And then I'm just a big believer in like, do the work, get it done. You came here to do it. And it's also a good reminder for me that, like, whatever I'm doing is a privilege. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a race, then wow, I had the funds available to sign up for this race and maybe get to somewhere really exciting to do it. Maybe I'm here with friends. Maybe I'm just pushing myself outside my comfort zone. So that one has like a whole bunch of layered meanings for me. And then another one that my friend Laura, Crazy Running Girl. Oh, I'm going to screw that up.
Don't worry.
I'll figure it out. Anyway.
We'll get it right in the show notes.
Yes, we'll get it right in the show notes. She's a giant Meb fan. So she was my person who was like super crazy jealous of our, of our interview, but she's been using Run the Mile You're In, and she's a big marathoner. So that means a lot more to her, I think, than to me when I'm the most I ever do is pretty much a half marathon or so. But still, like, if either run the mile you're in or, you know, run the moment you're in, mm-hmm. I guess is probably more how I interpret it.
Yeah.
So I just get focused on, like, being there and not worrying about how I'm going to finish the next five. And then the other one, I love that these are all coming from people. I didn't really make that connection until we started this conversation. But from our girl, Susan Lakey, who is, you know, just such a stitch. And she's like, when you're in a run, especially in a race and around a lot of people and you're struggling, just remember you're all eating the same shit sandwich. And, you know, like, it's not, you know, it's the same one that guy's got. It's the same one that girl's got. You guys are all getting the same thing. It's just a matter of, you know, how you're going to take it. How are you going to choke it down? So, that one makes me laugh. And then, you know, it's also like, okay, yeah, there are times when it sucks, but it sucks for everybody and we're all in it together. So it's kind of a nice community feel, I guess.
So the comparison prep, that's like the comparison, like inclusive, it's like the inclusive non-prep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's yours, Margo?
So mine is, I have one that I stole from my favorite boss ever. Shout out to Sue Garamian at Gruner & Yard Publishing, but she had a sign over her desk and she just made it up herself, but it was, do what scares you. Everything else is boring. So whenever I'm nervous about trying something, like when I said I want to try this podcast with you guys, I was nervous to approach you, but you know what?
Aww.
Yeah. No, I was like, oh, they're going to think it's silly.
That's awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
And the other one is a little, literature, you know, high end, little artsy fartsy literature one. It's from Samuel Beckett, not exactly known as a feminist, but I love this. I love this from him. It's ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Try again, fail better. And that motivates me when I fall on my butt or my face or whatever. Like, you know what? Maybe I'll fail next time, but I'm going to fail better next time. You know what I mean? Like, you're always improving. You're always getting better. And that's the way to approach it. And so that's the one that's also over my desk, and I look at it every day.
That reminds me, there's another one. I don't always use it during workouts, but just kind of in life. That's a Brené Brown book title that's taken from a Teddy Roosevelt quote, I believe. That's just dare greatly. Like, the quote's really long. It's like, stand in the arena, dare greatly. But I think those that like harken back to courage, you know, like, do the hard thing, do the tough thing. Like, there's beauty in that. I always find those to be super motivating as well.
Yeah. So, are we ready for our interview with Meb?
Yeah,
I was born ready. Well, no, actually, I totally wasn't because I was so nervous. I'm nervous again.
Oh my God. You guys are going to love this. He's such a delight. And it was such a privilege to speak to him. And I hope you guys enjoy this. Here's our interview with Meb. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, everybody. And we have a real live running superstar on the show today. And we just could not be more excited. This is Margo from Fit Bottom Girls. And today we are interviewing Meb Kavleski. Meb is an East African born American long distance runner. And he's the only person to win the Boston Marathon, New York Marathon, and an Olympic medal, which is impressive on its own, but even more so when you consider he didn't even take up running until middle school. Meb is a graduate of UCLA, where he won 4 NCAA track and field championships, and he currently resides in San Diego with his beautiful wife and their 3 beautiful daughters. Although he has said that Rio was his final Olympic marathon appearance, he is not done with running or inspiring others. In fact, Meb is passionate about giving back and wants to help others go the distance, physically, professionally, personally, and spiritually, by running to overcome. We are thrilled to have him on the show today. Welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, Meb.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for having me.
And Meb, on the show today, we have Kristen joining us.
Hi guys, I am so excited about this. Oh my gosh.
So my first question, Meb, a good friend of mine who is a runner and a Bostonite and who was not only there on that terrible day of the bombings, but also ran the year that you won. Can you tell us what you were thinking that day, when what you were thinking about when you're running across that finish line? It must have been so emotional.
Oh, April 21st, 2014 is, you know, we know all that day because of what happened the previous year. I was there, in fact, 2013 with the bombing, and I left 5 minutes prior to that, so it was just a beautiful day. People celebrating their running, their family, and a horrific moment happened, and I missed it by 7 minutes. And that afternoon, somebody asked me, are you going to be Bonnie Ford, her name? They asked me if I was going to be to come support the race. I said, of course, I have to be here and support the runners, and but I hope to be healthy enough to win it. So I set that goal that afternoon, and to come back to April 21st, 2014, and be able to just lead the path for 36,000 people, runners who've been wanted to do something positive on Boyson. We wanted to be cheerful. We wanted to be electrifying sound and just experience, and to be able to be in the lead and be able to pull the victory for all of us, and having the victims' names on my bib, you know, to draw inspiration, and not only one winner for myself, but I feel I want for everybody who was touched by that race, all the runners, and to lead the 36,000 people and chant USA, USA, just, you know, I'm trying to describe it the best that I can into words, but there's no moment like it.
Oh, I have chills. Meb, you are 41 years young, and you've just been getting stronger. So can you tell us a little bit about how your training, or maybe how your recovery, has changed over the years?
Over the years, I think nutrition is very important to, you know, because we are what we put in our body. And as I got older, my metabolism has slowed down, and I have to be picky about eating, and more like whole wheat and brown rice and a lot more salad and fruits with my girls, and try to live a healthy style. But as I got older also, you know, the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments kind of gets a little bit pushy, and I use KT tape to support me physically. And to be able to just do that is huge, because as you guys know, that the hardest part is about training is to stay healthy and be lean. And so you can stay healthy and lean, you're going to have a good race. So I'm so proud of all my sponsors to help me accomplish that goal.
Meb, growing up in such a violent time in East Africa must have been frightening for you and your family. How do you credit your ability to move past this and create so much joy in your life right now?
You know, I'm born in Eritrea with a horrific war, and, you know, my parents wanted something better for their kids. And you know, as you may have read my book, Run to Overcome and Men for Mortal, that people, my dad just wanted to escape to have a better life for his kids, even though he only had seventh grade education, and my mom never went to formal education, but they knew the value of what they want for their kids. And my dad had to walk 225 miles to save his life, and leaving behind a wife and six kids, not sure if he's ever going to see them again. And once he made it to Italy, there were benefactors like Dr. Brindisi, his boss, and Dr. Michael, his previous girlfriend, that Ruth's mom was able to help us escape the war-torn country. Well, you can't really delete that and forget about it. It kind of comes back and reflect that, you know, when especially when things like the 2013 Boston happens, you think you thought you left that all behind you, but it kind of reminds you that you never really left it, because even though you think you're in the U.S., it's not always the most safest place, and things happen. But you try to look at the glass as half full and try to maximize your potential and talents, and that's what our parents want us to do, and maximize our opportunities. And so I feel like, you know, running has opened up doors for me, but all my brothers and sisters have gone to college and, you know, trying to make something of themselves and be a positive contributors to the United States. And, you know, for me is, you know, from that beginning to where I am now, to be able to just represent our country in the Olympics or World Championship teams or winning the New York City Marathon or the Boston Marathon is a dream. You have to pinch yourself. Is it really happening to me? Because I never knew what the future held for me or my siblings or my parents, and not even just the next day, because if you look like you are 12 years old or older, they're going to give you a gun and go to war. So that was my start of life, but I feel very honored to be where I am, and I worked hard, extremely hard, and I've been, so many people have helped me be accomplished, whether just people themselves or sponsors that allow me to pursue the passion and my dream.
You're pretty well known for your motto, which I know was scattered throughout your book, run to win. But I, knowing you, because I feel like I know you. I know that it's not just about,
we know each other.
You know, oh, totally. We're best buds. But you're not about, you know, taking first place at any cost. There's more to that motto than just that. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about what Run to Win means to you?
Run to Win is getting the best out of yourself with an ability that you have. And I like to do myself, even sometimes do the right way. You know, marathon is a great metaphor for life. It's a great, there's no shortcuts. You know, you got to do it clean. And also, you know, there's different abilities, different gender, different age, people conquering their own excellence through 5K, 10K, half marathon, or full marathon. So as long as you are out there and getting the best out of yourself, that's the most important thing. And I learned that from Coach John Wooden, basketball coach. Success is a piece of mind knowing that you have done the best that you can be. And I feel the same thing with Run to Win. It doesn't mean getting first place, but getting the best out of yourself that moment, that time, and, you know, and be the best you can. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, that's what I try to install with my wife, to our kids. If they give out their best effort, that's all we can ask for. We can't ask anything more, or anything less.
Meb, we are so thrilled with your mission of philanthropy. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Meb Foundation and how it's helping others?
Well, the Meb Foundation is maintaining an excellent balance through health, education, and fitness. You know, as you know, runners are running into this. There's 50,000 new ones running the New York City Marathon. Every weekend, there's a lot of running going on, but we forget the basics of our junior high or high school or, you know, kids. And why not educate them the benefit of eating healthy or the benefit of setting goals, hard work, and perseverance at that early stage, because it's going to help them be a better student with exercise, and that will translate to the workforce and to hopefully be a positive contributor to society. So that's what I try to do. Some people need just nutrition. They got everything in the world. They just need advice on guidance of training. And other people, they don't have the shoes or gear. So with the Meb Foundation, we try to provide those to the needy. And whether it's equipment-wise, or for some people, it's just they got everything, but they need the guidance of nutrition and, you know, advice of training.
Meb, I was already completely in tears watching you approach the finish line in the 2016 Olympics. And then when you slipped and you turned it into push-ups, I mean, I just lost it. Like, I'm tearing up now thinking about it.
Oh.
What was going through your mind at that point? Because, God, what a race.
You know, 2016 Rio was special for many reasons. Two reasons was to wear the USA jersey one more time, because as an Olympian, I didn't make it in 2008. It was supposed to be at the peak of my career, and most people have written me off. And should I consider retiring, and then came back and make the 2012 Olympics and finishing fourth, the only American to finish in the marathon, the men. And then 2016, so in 2012, my daughters, my wife, and my whole family, brothers, sisters, parents were there. And the girls don't remember, well, the youngest one doesn't remember. She was too young. She remembers more of the gelato in Italy, that, you know, not the rich stuff we had in London on vacation. So, you know, 2016 was more for her, to be honest, to make a team one more time and wear the jersey, and so my daughters can remember. You know, a competitive guy that I am, or trying to live by the philosophy of Run to Win, mantra is, you know, I was having a problem at 13.3, and at that point I said, wow, I can't believe this. You know, I'm barely halfway. As you guys know, the marathon is a long, long way, but that day was, it was like ultra marathon. I've never done one. I don't want to experience it, but it was a struggle. And I just said, you know what? How many people love to be in my shoes, whether it's to break 3 hours or to be an Olympian, to wear that USA jersey, get to that finish line and make sure you greet your daughters. And, you know, you always tell them to do the best that they can. Is that my best is not to not finish. So I stopped 7 times and finally thought it was a slippery day, rainy, and I tried to be very cautious. I was celebrating as my last Olympics and kind of pointing to the USA jersey. And I was like 2 steps away, and I was going to take my hat off in honor of Joni Bonoid, who was the first woman to ever win the Olympics. Just like her, I was going to take my hat off, and I just looked away. And I could say, are you kidding me? I've been struggling for 13 miles to get to that finish line, stopping 7 times, and I'm inches away. And I felt like a football player, just know, dragging myself with that patch down after I've been knocked down, and I just did a push up. I said, I'm low to the ground this low anyways, might as well do a couple push ups and to let people know that I was okay, and everybody in the stadium loved it, and people around the world now love it because they say, how did you finish and how did you have the energy to do it? It was classic to say to just do the push up stuff. So, you know, it was intentional. If I had medal, which I think I was had a slim chance of getting a medal, and I took my award ceremony with me, and I was hoping to sneak for the medal, but I would have kissed the ground if I had medal, but I guess a push-up will have to do it for now.
I love it.
Meb, we know you are so busy, and we were so lucky just to have this small amount of time to be with you, so we're just going to ask you our one final question, one more question. We ask this of every person who does this podcast. Meb, what was the last song you listened to before you did this interview?
The last song that I listened to before this podcast is Jay-Z. I'm in New York, so Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, New York. New York is probably the last time I heard of it when I was running today, 2 days ago. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything else this morning. I'm just moving around from doing interviews with Casey Tape and having a good day.
Excellent.
Meb, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a total delight and a thrill. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and wish you guys all the best.
Thanks, Meb.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.